Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
And in this half, we got Joe Pantoliano, great actor, great guy, and the news as well. First, there's LifeLock. Black Friday, the biggest shopping day and the biggest opportunity for scammers, like online purchases that never arrive, sellers demanding gift cards for payment and fake shops or delivery notifications. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. So protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off on your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off. Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving week has come. It's time to take off work, pile your plate high, and toss back a couple. Carolla Drinks is here to help. For this week and this week only, Carolla Drinks is throwing a Thanksgiving week Mangria blowout sale. Every bottle of Mangria, site-wide, is only $15. That's white peach pear, brosé, and the original orange. All just $15 each. Head to CarollaDrinks.com today. And from all of us at the Adam Carolla Show, happy Thanksgiving.
For Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
I make funny light, I am cloud, I mouse you. I make you loud, I am here to fucking I mouse you.
If you said Goodfellas.
But I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Oh, God bless Ozzy. Thing about Ozzy that always befuddled me is I would always tell him, no, it's not a mouse, it's a muse. And then he'd go, a mouse. And I'd go, no, a muse. And he'd go, a mouse. And I'd go, not a mouse, a muse. But always about the 55th time I toggled back and forth from amuse to amuse, I was like, oh, you can say it different ways. Like people would go, yeah, no, that's his accent. Like I love those people.
Right.
You know, tap you on the shoulder, say, yeah, it's his accent. Right. I go, well, yeah, I know.
Spanish speaking accent. Yeah.
I know, but we've all, Brian, you're a foodie.
Yeah, let's hear it.
You go out to a Spanish restaurant or a Greek restaurant or something, you screw up the pronunciation of the dish, and then the person goes, no, it's pronounced this way, and then you modify the way you pronounce it.
It took me a single correction to learn spanakopita.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, sorry, so spanakopita?
Nope.
All right, got it forever.
But that's my whole point.
Yeah.
You go, oh, it's not this way, it's that way, and then you do it the other way, the same way you might do with Andrea or Andrea.
Right.
It's not as obnoxious as it is once the person tells you.
It's done.
Not Ozzy. He had one way. It was always his first way. It was usually wrong, and there was no way to modify it once he said it the wrong way.
And again, I'm not really bilingual, so far be it from me, but how long was he in this country?
Well,
I was here permanently.
I've known him. I met him in, I would say, 92.
So at least 92.
93. He worked for Ray. They got into an argument over a ladder. And so Ray dropped him off to me. And then
you adopted him.
So you were his ward.
Yeah, you
like
became
Batman
his ward,
and Robin.
Right.
92 was certainly the earliest I remember seeing him. He passed, 6 months ago.
Right.
So
at least 30 years.
We're coming up. Yeah, I would say at least, I think 30 years.
Okay.
Did not modify that accent.
Okay.
One iota. Although what happens is you bring the mountain to Muhammad. They don't modify their accent, but your brain starts doing the work.
Yep.
And then you start to speak his broken language.
Right.
And then you understand he's saying.
Do you want to go to an amusement park?
That's right. Okay. I would know what he meant.
How is Disneyland not known as an amusement park?
An amusement park.
Should have embraced that shit.
I'm told The Hammer is free on YouTube.
I have
no idea what that means, but it's free on YouTube. So
no one's making any money off
it. It means everyone is done getting paid. And I was the first that was done being paid. All right. We're going to bring on Joe when he hops on in a couple minutes. I will say I was watching the news over the weekend, and there was a controversy over the naming of a telescope. NASA's going to launch a telescope that's going to be 10 times better than the Hubble telescope.
What did the scientists do?
Well, the guy who ran NASA, James Webb, was not – well, everyone who wore pomade in their hair in the 60s and had horn-rimmed glasses was a former racist.
A great guy.
Right. That's how they do it. But I've also realized that if you'd like to erect a statue to James Webb, who is the director of NASA, I think, during the whole Apollo thing, you know, when he's the guy who ran the whole thing, you do a statue – you can always have some buyer's remorse and go tear the statue down. Mm-hmm. Good luck shooting the telescope out of orbit.
Right. Lassoing that thing.
Can't have any pissed off college students with spray cans and fire extinguishers go up there and desecrate
it. March.
Not getting there.
Mm. That's right.
Not going to make it. So you have to think long and hard before you shoot it into outer space.
Right.
Vet the guy.
So I think we have the news story I think you guys will find sort of interesting.
We're going to enter a completely new part of observational space.
The next generation in scientists' effort to peek at galaxies far, far away is the James Webb Space Telescope, JWTS for short.
100 times more powerful than Hubble.
Once launched next month, it will turn its eye to distant stars in search of Earth-like planets. While scientists are excited about what is to come, they're also divided over the telescope's name.
We have something new now. It's the woke leading the blind.
I'm happy to be called woke.
At issue, whether or not James Webb deserves to have his name on the telescope.
Columbia.
Webb ran NASA in the 60s and is credited for his role in building the Apollo program. But some are calling
that
out
helps
Webb's
the argument.
Tenure during the so-called Lavender Scare. It started in the late 40s when the U.S. government rooted out gay civil servants and fired them. Webb served as Under Secretary of State during that time, and his critics say he didn't do his part to stop it.
God. Do you think you'll ever get to the point where you'll use the name Webb and not think about the history behind it?
Yeah, probably not.
Astrophysicist Sarah Tuttle is one of four scientists who penned an op-ed titled "The James Webb Space Telescope Needs to Be Renamed."
He was still the administrator while his head of security picked up someone from the jail, interrogated him for hours at NASA headquarters, and then fired him because he had been picked up for being gay.
Supporters of Webb say the history is murky, and those opposed to naming the telescope after him should take another look.
In this case, they're completely wrong.
Hakeem Olusehi,
an astrophysicist,
says after researching Webb's history, he found a man of tolerance.
James Webb lauded the intellectual power of an openly gay woman. He went out of his way to help use NASA facilities to desegregate the South.
More than 1,700 people at last count in the scientific community signed a petition asking NASA to change the name to Harriet Tubman, former slave who used stars to guide black people to freedom.
I love Harriet Tubman, but that's not appropriate for this.
NASA declined our repeated request for an interview, saying in a statement, the Lavender Scare was a painful time in American history. NASA's historian conducted an exhaustive search. He also talked to experts. NASA found no evidence at this time that warrants changing the name. Some astronomers say NASA needed to be transparent about how it conducted its investigation.
People like me that have worked with NASA extensively, done a lot of pro bono work, and are queer and feel like this is a decision that was made without really understanding where it came from.
As the countdown to launch draws closer, there is one point of agreement.
What I'll say is, whatever we call it, We're going to use JWST to do excellent science.
Could there possibly be life out there?
Jason Carroll, CNN, New York.
Everything's news.
I'm sorry. Harriet Tubman would be like, what is this now? Yeah. What are we talking about?
Chief Sitting Bull Telescope.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you got to find famous black astronaut or someone who worked in NASA. Or how about the
Hidden Figures
lady?
Right.
Like, pick one of them.
But it's like if he was essentially to the Lavender Scare what like McCarthy was to McCarthyism, like, I see your point. But he was just around and didn't do enough to stop. Yeah. But he was sort of just not involved in it at all.
Well, the problem, there's a kind of a math. It's kind of a Joe Pa math. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a we're now or Chris Harrison from The Bachelor. Sure. It's like it's not enough that you weren't involved with this thing. You were around when this thing was happening.
Right.
And you didn't do anything about it, but we can't tell what you knew about it.
And you didn't do anything about it by our standards 70 years in the future.
Right. The difference, though, as it pertains to Joe Pa, I think, in that whole situation is he was in charge and he supposedly actively looked away. This guy, according to the whatever the woman was saying, was the undersecretary to the guy who pulled off these sort of like, you know, unseemly schemes. And it's like, all right, I mean, he could have done more, probably would have risen to the level to name a telescope after him, would have been fired immediately.
Yeah. And now it's this thing of like, what do you know? Then you got to deal with the bitch down the hall that wants to know what everything's going to be named. Sure. And you're like, we're doing a new retro rocker. What are we calling it? The Satchel Paige?
Are you sure? Campanella?
Yeah, yeah. Are we good? Can we move on?
I'll let it go this time.
All right. Where's Joe? Is he...
I'm still waiting on
Still me. Waiting on Joe. All right. I got other things we can talk about if you like.
Please.
I have...
What's the Thanksgiving plan this year?
Oh, there you go.
It's complicated. I don't want to break up a sore subject, but people are curious.
I'm taking the kids and I'm going...
going to Mexico.
Going to Mexico and I'm never coming back. They eat iguana there for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
people
right.
don't know that.
Turkey of the trees.
The I am going to my sister's house. I was informed that I need to make cranberry sauce for 17, so
oh,
I'll
boy.
Be making a shitload of cranberry sauce. The good news about the cranberry sauce is every year I'm left with a bucket of cranberry sauce because nice. I always take 3 or 4 packs, do it. I make a big thing of it, and people don't realize it. It's chutney-esque in
yes.
its usage.
It's
it gets a little
a
to the side. Most people do like 1 tablespoon
yes.
to the side. I have this big Tupperware container of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's 6 people, but they don't end up eating a coffee mug
no.
of it times the 6
no.
people. And then there's always a pile of it. And it never goes bad. You can't throw it out. It's hard to infuse into, well, now we're doing Chinese or Thai
right,
food.
Right.
Well, get a little of that cranberry on
unless
the
you're
side.
Making muffins from scratch.
Right. So I shall be making the cranberry. I shall be taking that to my sister's. My
Could you
sister.
Repurpose that as peanut butter and cranberry sandwiches? Or is
Ooh.
That too weird?
I mean, if you can eat marmalade, why not?
Yeah.
Are the parents coming?
I think it's weird. Let's see.
Whose parents?
My mom is coming, I think, with my stepdad. I got to talk and see if my dad, you know, how mobile he is. And also, he's like a, you know, he's just a, he doesn't need, you know, he's not a celebrator per se.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to. I'll hang out here.
When you do your, trust me, I should know this after how many years of the recipe, but I'm going to make cranberry sauce this year. I've never made it because I don't really care about it, but I'm trying to care. And I just like when I watch the things on YouTube, just watching them pop and like you mm-hmm. just put the whole thing in, let them pop, stir it with sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I can do that. I'm doing that in green bean casserole. How hard could it be?
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's super easy. The key to the cranberries is the thing will say empty a sack of cranberries into a, I think it's like a cup of water,
yeah.
sack of cranberries, cup of sugar. Start with half a cup of sugar.
It goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you do orange zest?
I don't get into stuff that isn't part of, you know, whatever is on the picture of mm-hmm. the pilgrims
mm-hmm.
and the Indians.
Sure.
I don't like to drift too far from
I
the
understand.
Picture.
Yeah.
I doubt you have specific thoughts on this, Adam, but you guys, are you guys hard and fast with Christmas, like, you know, not until after Thanksgiving, or is just kind of seeping in? Christmas music, I don't know, tree or decorations.
I think after the punishing summer we've had, I can't get it fast enough, the holiday spirit. I want to move away from that shitty, awful summer. I'm ready.
I'm 100% the opposite. I will not allow Christmas in my
home. I'm like a great NFL coach when they're, you know, they're talking about the Super Bowl and like, we got one more playoff game to win. And
Cincinnati.
They go, yeah, but it's at home and you guys are 14-point favorites. Like, we're not even talking about it.
Bengals are a good team.
We
got to
beat Cincinnati at home. That's right. Then we can start talking about it. Not going to entertain it. We have to talk about Thanksgiving. Then we can celebrate Thanksgiving. Then we can move on to Christmas.
I mean, I already went to Hobby Lobby and got all my like wooden reindeer and shit, but I haven't put it up yet.
Did they snatch your birth control?
At the door!
I underline the word
and
snatch.
And my Jew horns.
Shame to boss.
Joe is ready. Oh, yeah. There he is. Joey Pants, everyone, back on the show. Hide and Seek, the name of the movie. It's available now. Oh, there it is.
Check.
In theaters and on demand. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is starring in this one, who's an interesting actor. Very good. Been in a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of comes and goes. We'll see if we can get his connection. You have any Johnny Rhys-Meyers?
I can't hear.
They'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Wasn't he in the Velvet Goldmine,
great
movie.
That movie was about Bowie and that whole glam rock era, but they couldn't get the rights, so they made up all characters, but it's pretty obvious who's who.
I remember him very well because of that movie.
He's fantastic. He was great in Benedict Beckham.
Yeah.
He was great. He had a long run in The Tudors, which I never saw, but it went on for fucking a decade.
Started, I think, now he's Scottish or Irish or something.
Weird.
Started, I believe, playing Elvis in like the TV movie.
I think
you're
right.
Do you guys remember that?
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Which seems like, boy, that guy can act if he has an English or Scottish accent and he's able to do Elvis out here.
Yeah, it's a TV movie.
Right. So I think that's where he got. But he's an interesting guy. I don't know that much about him. He kind of comes and he goes. Seems to get to knocking on the door of stardom and then retreats for a couple of years.
He's also got the face that everyone recognizes. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. And someone's like, I know who that is. Like, trust me, you know who that is.
Yeah, he's Irish. He's very pretty. Yeah.
Yes. So he is Irish. Okay, do we have Joey on the
We're having some technical phone? Issues. So we're going to get him on the phone instead. Okay. So stand by.
All right, so we'll get back to Thanksgiving. Yes, do your Thanksgiving, then do your Christmas.
Thank you.
As I get older, as I don't need or want presents anymore, I tend to like Thanksgiving a little more than Christmas even.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's the best.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's the best. Smells good. Love the pumpkin pie.
It's funny, too, because I've always had a very complicated history with Thanksgiving because the grads get together and then it's emotional chaos and then everybody forgets and does it again next year. And I'm standing there like, do we all forget? So I've always had a really complicated relationship with it. But now that my dad's gone, who was sort of the pin holding the family together, now I'm doing Friendsgiving, which I'm really excited about.
It's a fun night.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
As one who's participating.
Yeah.
I got thoughts. One is, I love the ham. Ham's good. I love the turkey, but do get the roast going. Get some beef up in there.
I
love that.
We're having turkey, ham, and prime rib.
Nice. Prime rib. Other thing, I don't know how to avoid this, but I bet Christy knows how to do it since she's the baker. My sister will do the pumpkin pie every year. At some point, there's a lot of crevices in it. It sort of cracks. There's fissures. It's got a little San Andreas theme running through
the top
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what happens to the pumpkin pie where it starts to kind of can't support its own weight.
Yeah. And then pulls up.
Starts to crease a little bit.
Chris, call Christy.
We should find out what the hell, how to avoid that. The ones at the store don't do that. No. I don't know if there's some kind of stabilizer or something. But
I think you might. I don't really know anything about baking, but I think it might be baking on too high of a temperature for too short of a time.
Well, it's good because they capture my tears every year.
Oh, yeah,
I lean
good.
Over
that's
this
nice.
Burnt
like an
offering.
Aqueduct.
Joey Pants.
Hi, guys. I apologize for my electronic shortcomings.
That's all right. We don't need to see you. We just need to hear you. I gave the movie a plug. We'll talk about, we were talking about Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, kind of an enigma, kind of an interesting guy. Did you have a good time working with him? Had you worked with him before?
I hadn't, and I did have I had a great time, and he really is an interesting guy. He's been through a lot. You know, you can tell that, you know, because he's classically, he reminds me of, you know, a well-adjusted Richard Burton. Incredibly handsome from humble beginnings, but he's getting his act together.
Yeah, I think he's had some, I know somebody who knows him, and he's had a little, some trials and some tribulations, but you root for the guy.
Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't?
Brian.
I mean, that's why we get
except for the cancer
business.
Pre-cancer tumor.
That's true. Aside from that one thing, it's been pretty smooth sailing.
Joe, we were talking about Thanksgiving and how we do it around here. How do you do
speaking
it?
Speaking of trauma.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I remember the, you know, my family Thanksgivings. I remember that it was, we had three meals. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd start at around noon. And it was the Italian feast. That was lasagna. Mm-hmm. And you know, and by the way, it was always the same thing. So Thanksgiving or Easter or Christmas, it was pretty much the same menu, except maybe not the pumpkin pie, you know, for Easter. You know, it was more like pasta, big pasta, salad, meatballs, sausage. Then everybody would go to sleep. You take a nap.
Sure.
And then you'd wake up, and you'd have the turkey and all the stuffings and all the, you know, the vegetables, and then you'd watch the game. And then during the game you'd fall asleep. And then around 4 o'clock you'd have dessert, coffee, anisette. And then they would play canasta. Depending, like the ladies loved playing. You guys remember canasta?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, but the ladies loved playing canasta. And then we get into the poker. And the women in my family, they were vicious poker players.
What a night.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a day.
And it would always end up in some kind of a fight. Or just out of jealousy. You know, why are you so goddamn lucky? You know, oh my God. You won again?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I'm going to Jimmy. We took last year off because of COVID, but he's doing his big Christmas Eve fish-based, seafood-based party with Tony Barbieri,
right,
who ends up at the fish food market or the fish market at, you know, 5 a.m. that day. Him and Jimmy just slaving all day.
Is Jimmy the kind of guy who does the modifications, i.e. fish at the dinner table or lasagna, like Joe mentioned? My family was like that. But we always had the version, you know what I'm saying? Like you have the traditional version and then whatever offshoot.
Well, there's always, meat. But
the Christmas Eve was always fish. Yeah. Right?
Bacala, is it bacala?
Salted cod. That's the only reason
bacala.
I know.
Yeah.
The only reason I know about Christmas Eve is because of The Sopranos when she says, well, who's doing Christmas Eve? I am. Do you want to let Janice loose on shellfish?
Right.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. My ex-mother-in-law was very Italian, used to do it, but not a fantastic version of it. I never liked seafood until much later in life, so
same.
It was rough. Now, what Jimmy will do is the place, there's always a ton of kids running around.
Sure, of course.
So he doesn't do the hardcore Squid Ink, you know,
right,
on the kids.
Right.
So he'll always do
a kid's plate.
A kid version
and
of something.
Right. Adam Carolla plate.
Well, Adam Carolla will get drunk and wander into the kids section.
Macaroni.
And load up on some mac and cheese and that kind of stuff.
Kind of hot dogs.
As well. Yeah. So is this.
We used to do, we did fish, and we still do. My cousin, the Cucucci's. You know, for the last 60 years, but this is a tradition that went on for 100 so far. And so it was stuffed calamari, it was stuffed clams, baked clams, of course, the bacala and salad, what was, pasta with in a white sauce with shrimp, fried galama, and then
we get it. You're Italian.
The chestnuts.
So you guys, this was you growing up. I mean, when you'd get up, eat, take a nap, get up again.
That's my perfect day.
Are you guys all like me in that you can take a nap and you can completely reboot your hunger?
Fuck yeah.
When I wake up after a nap,
your blood sugar's off.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Yeah.
I want to eat immediately, even if I've eaten before I took
the
nap.
Even if the food puts you into the nap.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, where are you doing Thanksgiving? Are you on the East Coast, West Coast? Where are you?
Yeah, we're on the East Coast and we're going to Chaz and Jana Pimenteri's house for Thanksgiving, and boy, can they cook.
Oh, my God.
So, and it's going to be, you know, it's reminiscent of my parents, my family style. The food is always great. The desserts are, you know, stunning in terms of, you know, all the high end. I feel like tiny Tim when he looked into the window and couldn't afford anything. I mean, now I get to eat those pastries that it was never attainable, you know, when I was growing up as a kid.
We're talking about Chaz Pimenteri.
Yeah, they'll have the best of the best of the best.
Nice.
And he makes a whole thing where he goes down to Arthur Avenue, and he you know he has rolls. My favorite thing is the Parmigiano in the wheel.
Oh, yes.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and you take like a spoon and you scoop it out. Mm-hmm. And and that stuff ain't cheap. And it's imported. She's from Italy. You know, you go to Stu Leonard, it says Parmesan. It's not from Italy. It's from, you know, South Norway.
I think people, Maybe we can talk to the bigger picture here, which is so many people now are like, farm it out. You know what I mean? Just go to Gelson's,
right.
Go there a week in advance, yeah. Order all your shit. It'll show up at your door in a foil tray. I'm hearing about...
Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's what I did.
All these
How
people.
Dare you? I do not do that.
How many years past?
I force somebody who makes less than me to do it on site. But I started hearing just this year a lot of commercials for Christmas trees that were like pre-strung with lights, like
fake trees, pre-strung.
And I thought
the lights are basically attached to the branches.
I mean, my thing is all right. When I was a kid, we strung popcorn,
yep,
and that was
cranberries.
A pretty thankless task. Yeah. It took a while.
Tedious.
Same.
Tedious. And maybe we don't need to go that far, but at some point, we're going to have a service where a family comes over and views your Christmas tree so you don't have to come downstairs and open your eyes.
Unwraps your presents.
Look how nice that is.
Yeah, yeah. Write a nice note about how pretty it was and then leave it. And they'll take the tree with you when you're done viewing. Like, it's an interesting life. And you talk about mental health a lot, Joe. It's like, should you wash your own car every time? No. Should you do it once in a while just to kind of get in the driveway, bring your kid out there, turn on the music, go a little Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something? Like, okay, good. But it's a weird balancing act, this farming everything out. I don't feel like it ends
well. We talked on this show about fake trees versus real trees, and the fake tree has every advantage. It's cheaper. It puts away. It's cleaner. No needles. No sap. On and on and on and on and on. Stronger. The branches won't wilt. But the ritual, the tradition, you know, going to get the tree, hanging it up.
But you picture, what's it mean to Chaz and Pimenteri and the great Jimmy Kimmel to be down at the market at 5 in the morning.
You get joy out of it.
It's part of the ritual.
And by the way, the pride.
Yeah.
Oh, preening, brimming when they serve it up in front of you and everyone's lined up and they got the towel over their shoulder. I'll do a little... what do they call it? Stolen valor.
Sure.
I'll grab a dirty towel, sling it over my shoulder, and
put your hands together.
Stand by the lasagna.
My daughter Daniela still lives in our apartment in Hoboken, New Jersey, and there's a place called Fiori's. It's on 5th and Adam, and they make. I mean, for the last 110 years, they make their own mozzarella in the morning every day from curd, you know, and the smoked mozzarella or the water mozzarella, the scramuts, and also, so Daniela will go Thanksgiving Eve, because they'll be closed on Thanksgiving Day, and we do the same thing Christmas. And she'll get the mozzarella and you know, a pound of prosciutto, and we get the hot soprassata and the roasted peppers that they make themselves. You know, even scungile. And then a block away, she goes to Dom's Bakery.
These are real words.
I recognize half of them from my childhood.
We bring all of that stuff with pride. When we bring that bread to Chaz and Jana's, we have pride. We're so proud of that bakery that definitely my great grandfather went there.
But you don't make your own mozzarella. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you
know, cutting corners. People get hurt.
You make your own mozzarella.
Master cheesemaker over here.
Yo, you know, they go and it's like nobody does nothing anymore. Except we will do a roast. I don't know who said that earlier, but I'm all for the roast.
That was a joke.
I also like pork roast. That's the new white meat, right? That's what the commercials say.
That's right.
Yes, pork roast. Nice.
A nice tenderloin.
I like that string around it for some reason. I need that string.
And I stuffed mine with garlic.
Oh.
Take a knife and jab meat and then put solid cloves of garlic.
Yeah, you know what? Screw Kimmel this year. I may be swinging by your place, Joe.
Chaz's place.
I completely agree. There is a little something in life called foreplay. We all want to fast forward past it. It is, unfortunately, it makes the sex better. And makes talking about stuffing that roast, man. But you want, like, it's a metaphor, but it's foreplay and sex. It's like everyone just wants to skip to the part. That's how we're wired, but it makes the ending not as good if you don't have the journey that goes along, and so we should all endeavor to participate in that.
Dr. Ruth over here.
That's right. Joe?
I'm all for it.
So are you just what's the schedule like? Do you have movies lined up? Do you have a bunch of stuff coming out? Is it back to normal post-COVID? How's it working?
It's not. Thankfully, I've been working and you know, I did a Christmas movie for Hallmark,
The Santa Stakeout.
It came out. You know, so I got the Hallmark movie and a horror movie opening with 3 weeks apart from each other. You know, it's not as busy for me, but as I've said in the past, the line has gotten longer. Kind of parts that I would normally be offered, a lot of these old aging movie stars are jumping in front of the line. You know, I was reading all about the Academy Award, and a lot of movie stars, they go after the supporting parts because they can, you know, that's a, you know, the fix is in, it's rigged. Okay, we'll get them a supporting Oscar first or nomination first, and then we'll work on the bigger stuff. So, you know, 9 movie stars got to say no before they even, you know, think of coming to me.
Brian?
Joe, I'm the guy who made the wise-ass comment earlier, but I have a serious question, and you brought it up. I literally had it written down to ask you, but Hallmark Christmas movies are big in my house. They're fun. They're heartwarming. They're part of the season. They just hit a nerve that just works, and you were in one. I'm like, Joey Pantoliano, and you were delightful. Talk about that process, and did you shoot it in the summertime, or like all the stuff about the movies?
I call them cotton movies because they take the lawns. We shot it in Vancouver in August, and they don't like get clothing that looks like it's winter clothes. They get winter clothes,
Gore-Tex,
and stick you in them.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's like working in the gym or something. You know, everybody's got, you know, BO, and you know, you're sweating, and they got fans. And then the there was cotton, these rolls, they roll out cotton with the CGI now. They can make, they kind of tweak it when they, in the editing process. But you're walking around, you don't get the benefit of that. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And the actors that I worked with, I got a kick out of working with them. It was hot. It was hot and miserable. And with the fires, it was during those fires in California that all that smoke was coming to Vancouver. I watched the DP will get an Emmy nomination.
That's funny you mentioned the CGI snow, because if you watch enough of them, like we're doing our house, you notice they'll add CGI breath sometimes, you know, for night scenes, because it's clearly the dead of summer.
I wonder, first off, I am happy. I don't watch Hallmark movies, but I'm glad it's 2021 and we haven't turned our back on Hallmark.
They're like not too cynical.
Yeah, they're a throwback to like, you know, those movies.
Well, Jesus, it's hard to do because they make like 50 of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm doing the Hallmark movie. Yay, that's pretty cool. And then they go, no, Joe, you don't understand. It's called 40 Days of Christmas. That means they do one every night.
Hey, Joe, you want to hang with us and we'll do the news and sit in and crack wise?
Of course. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back with the news and Joey Pants right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So we have an update on that horrible incident in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Five people dead, more than 40 injured after someone plowed into a holiday parade in an SUV on Sunday. But now that man is in custody after the incident. He's being identified, whatever his name is, who cares, 39-year-old Milwaukee man with a criminal history dating back to 1999 that includes numerous violent felonies. I'll just give you a taste. Fox News reports that this man has a long rap sheet and a number of pending cases. Most recent court appearance from November 5th for charges including reckless endangerment, battery, domestic abuse, resisting arrest, jumping bail. He was out, by the way, on $1,000 bail for those charges at the time of the attack. And in July of last year, police charged him with three other felonies, including reckless endangerment and being a felon in possession of a firearm. He's also listed as a registered sex offender in Nevada. The guy's rap sheet goes on forever. There is I have a piece of video. It's not of him plowing into the crowd, but this does give you a sense of, you know, the street is empty. People are on the side and look, watch as you just see this SUV fly by with sound.
Yeah, it's it's sad, terrific, and you know, kids and everything. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So you know, we're in this weird time where we're talking about reform, prison reform, bail reform, police and this and that. It's all like reform. Right. And then the argument goes of like, these guys are low level drug offenders. They put them in the hole. They throw the key away. And then there's another side where the guys have been arrested 71 times, lots of violence, mm-hmm. and they're in and they're out immediately. Can we just agree that if there's a lot of violence and multiple acts of violence,
since the 90s,
we will then keep those guys in?
That'd be great.
Whatever we're trying to do, it doesn't really count for people that are super violent. So we all look, whether it's you, me, Mark Garagos, or Kim Kardashian, we all agree no one wants nonviolent people locked up for lower level or even medium or large level, like drug offenses, right, or things like that. Okay, good. We got that. But it will go case by case, because there's a shitload of violence in these people's past. Then whatever color they are, we would like them locked away.
Yeah. And $1,000 bail, ironically, for jumping bail.
Right.
Pretty interesting. We're not done with this conversation, unfortunately. I know you guys talked about this a little yesterday. There is so much more to add. The Daily Mail reports that the San Francisco Bay Area has been hit by a third day of looting, with a gang of thieves filmed doing a smash and grab at a jewelry store. I know you talked about Louis Vuitton and Nordstrom. Well,
let me say this about criminals. Their whole MO is they're opportunistic. They're just opportunistic.
Right.
Their goal isn't being evil. Their goal is getting away with shit and not being
taking
caught.
Things that are valuable. Right.
So the way they catch guys who steal cars is they have a bait car.
Right.
They don't make them hotwire the car. They leave the keys in the car.
It's the best show ever.
I know. The part I love about it is they are, by law, have to put a thing on the dashboard that says you're being filmed. You are being filmed right now, which I always think is comical. Oh, I should get one of those for my car.
You should.
Everyone should have one of those for their car. Just put on the dash.
Yeah. Oh, savvy.
Looking like a bait car. But they walk by a whole bunch of cars that are locked and they don't have the keys left in the ignition. And then they get to the bait car and then they open that door. It's unlocked and there's keys in the ignition because it's easier.
Right.
And then
find your car at LAX with the key on the tire.
Something's up.
They always talk about, you know, when there's a blackout in New York City and it's crime wave because there's been a blackout. Yeah, because it's easier for these guys to get about when there's a 24-hour, 48-hour blackout. So you're going to make it easier than they're going to look for opportunities to commit crimes. That's how all this works. And by the way, Dawson, somebody tweeted me and said that the cops that were bashing on the window of the Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said that was Walnut Creek or something.
That was Louis Vuitton. That was in San Francisco. It was outside the Union Square.
Well, you're the news guy.
Wait a second.
The newsman. No, they're wrong.
I don't like this. So let me just tell you what else happened. The robbers, there was like 40, 50 teenagers. They entered the mall. They carried hammers. They smashed display cases. Also on Sunday, they're being filmed from another retail store across the way. They are, you know, all in hoodies and sweats. And just smash and grabbing and running. Sunday, another gang of looters took off with a bunch of Lululemon stuff at a San Jose store. And then on Saturday, the Daily Mail says that robbers caught on security camera, they were stealing prescriptions from a pharmacy in Oakland. Oh. This is piggybacking on the stories you guys talked about.
It's all connected. Don't you guys understand it's all connected?
Yes.
It's, you know, the Rittenhouse thing. Nobody's putting that. Why isn't anybody connecting that this kid, shot three people, killed two of them, was acquitted, what, on Friday? This happened on Saturday?
Through the weekend.
Like the day after? Yeah. And wasn't that the same town?
The first one, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, that was in Wisconsin. The rest were in San Francisco.
So it's kind of close, but I think it's all connected. Listen, this is just the beginning. The world is going crazy. And when you don't have money, listen, I never, when I was a kid, if I wanted a jacket or a pair of jeans, I'd steal it. You know, I'd go in a store and steal it. I was very good at it, you know, and I paid my debt to society as a result of it. But I think it's connected. I think there's so much rage. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. There's so much rage, and I think what we got to get back to, because people, we got to tar and feather people. You get somebody.
Hold on.
And you tar and feather them.
Who are we tar and feathering?
the guy that got off on $1,000 bail. Mm-hmm. I think that they should have tarred and feathered him for his last crime and put him in the town square for several hours on a rail
in the stocks,
and then he wouldn't do it again. The other thing that I think is very important with all the lying going on, you know, they call it fake news. They call it fake news. It's manipulation and lies. So what I would do, what I want to do is when somebody lies, I want them to, I want to say, sir, I want to hit them with my white glove and I want to say, you're a liar and I challenge you to a duel.
Everybody loves Hamilton.
It's like,
go see that play, right?
Yep.
We got to start dueling again at 7 in the morning.
Finger on the
pulse. High ground, yeah.
People are going to, you know, you're going to think twice about lying.
I agree. First off, I feel like we're in Spillikin Corners of Knott's Berry Farm. People need to tan leather. They need to shoe horses. They need to throw pottery on
churn
a wheel.
Churn their own butter.
Churn their own butter. We get the stocks. We tar and feather them. We challenge them to duels.
I'm rereading Huckleberry Finn right now. Maybe that's why I'm coming up with these ideas.
That's great. Well, I think you're right. And that you're speaking more macro, a little more micro, you know, on the West Coast, we've all been sort of informed that this type of activity more common in the Bay Area since California state law downgraded theft of property less than $950 to a misdemeanor. It was a felony. Now it's a misdemeanor. So store staff and security don't pursue. Well, maybe I shouldn't announce this, but they tend not to pursue thieves who've taken anything worth less than $1,000 for that reason.
Yeah. And also, again, thieves, they know which way the wind is blowing. They know you call the cops and you say, my laptop is stolen. The cops go, you're on your own.
Right.
Why not get in the laptop stealing business if you're on your own?
If you go into Louis Vuitton and you rob a $2,000 wallet, right? Bottom line is, it only costs 25 cents to make it.
That's right.
And all that stuff's got to start ending up somewhere, right? eBay?
Yeah, they got insurance, right? That store that they just got, they have insurance. So we pay. Our insurance goes up.
Yeah, I just added $20 to my Louis Vuitton clutch I was eyeballing over the weekend.
Well, and just to sort of dovetail into this next story, and then we'll move on to other things. The University of California, Davis, UC Davis, as it's known, has announced plans to undergo a defunding of its police department and will eliminate 3 vacant officer positions. This is according to Fox News. The university also said 3 other officer positions have been repurposed. I'll tell you what the purpose is. The new positions are a public safety policy analyst in student affairs, an analyst position to support data accreditation and transparency efforts within the police department, and a new position dedicated to the Health 34 initiative. That's a mouthful.
All right. You got to find the lyrics, but I blame John Lennon.
Uh-oh.
Because we're reimagining police.
We sure are.
He did a lot of imagining.
Yeah.
And if you think about that song, Imagine, first off, it's a funny song because if you're on the left side of the aisle and you're a politician, it is your theme song. Uh-huh. If you're on the right side, you hate it.
Mm.
But it's a good song. It's a nice song. It's really the message of the song. So his things like imagine no borders and no religion,
no possessions.
And no possessions, you know, and it's great, except for no one goes along with it.
Right.
It's great in theory. This is every house should just have a windmill and solar panels and we should power up all that. It's like, that's great.
Yeah.
But you got to get everyone to go along with it or we have to be able to execute it.
Right.
Well, what does he say? You may say I'm a dreamer.
That's right.
But he's not the only one.
He's not the only one.
Right. But a lot of people bought into it, and then we started reimagining. The last thing we should reimagine is policing or bridges or roads or anything. Like he wanted – I have the lyrics here. I told Chris one of those lyrics. It was also funny that first there was Imagine, and then I think the next was Double Fantasy. But he lived in a world where –
constantly.
People lived in harmony and they like got along and imagine what we could do if China would just sort of knock it off and understand that we're all God's creatures and all that. And it's like, yeah, except for they're not going to do that. And the criminals aren't going to reimagine criminality. You know what I'd like to say? I'm putting the onus on criminals. You guys reimagine being criminals.
If anyone can stop.
We just have cops. You guys are the ones that are busting into everything and stealing. You fuckers reimagine
Adam,
your shit.
I have a brilliant solution. This is what we got to do.
Please.
China has got to nuke us. See, then we won't be left right anymore. We'll be united as one again.
Mm.
Most of us will be dead, but at least we'll be together again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need a common enemy.
Yeah, no borders and no
common enemy,
religion,
and it's going to be China.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You heard the man.
Well, it'll be like, you know, whenever they do those movies where the aliens are coming, the whole world sort of reunites. But now we didn't know we need to do that within the borders of the United States. You know, we didn't picture that without the United States
would
come together with China and Mexico and Canada.
Oh, and before I get off of this China tangent,
please
don't forget it was the corporations that took all of the industry in the middle of our country and sent the machines over to the cheap labor. So they created China. I worked in China in 1986 on Empire of the Sun. There was nothing there. I was in Shanghai for 6 weeks. And here we are 40 years later, and it's because of American industry.
Yeah.
We're all waiting for these container ships to come into port because everything's made there because they de-unionized everything here. You know, these guys want wages, decent living, so we might as well go to China or Bangladesh and start making stuff there because it's cheaper and it's good for the bottom line of our a publicly traded company.
We're getting a little too political, Joey. What do you eat for Easter?
I only eat. Union turkeys.
Oh, boy. You know, it's funny because I was having this conversation a lot over the weekend because my best friend's husband works for the government and does, you know, everything basically on Chinese tariffs and stuff. And tall, lanky Jewish guy speaks fluent Mandarin. Mm-hmm. So if we ever want to talk to him, he'd be happy to do it.
Well, I think it'd be a good source. And that I think that's going to be the wave of the future. Like we spent.
My son is a quarter Chinese. I'm wondering if he can get like a work permit there in China.
Yeah, we've.
And my grandkids are half Korean.
We're kind of. I think we're done with Russia. We're moving on to China, and probably rightfully so. What else you got, Gina Graham?
All right. Well, let's move on. LeBron James brawling, sort of. LeBron James was ejected from Sunday's Lakers-Pistons game after a little altercation with Detroit forward Isaiah Stewart. The incident happened in the third quarter of the Lakers game. They won, by the way. Both players were given technical fouls and ejected. I'm just going to let CBS Sports explain what happened.
Tempers flared in the Motor City. Eyes on the right side of your screen here. LeBron James, Isaiah Stewart got tied up on a rebound when the King took what looked like an ill-advised shot at the second-year center. Stewart's eye was bloodied, and then things escalated.
Watch this.
Pistons players and coaches struggling to hold back Stewart multiple times as he tried to get his hands on James. Both players were ejected. Once things calmed,
wow,
Lakers staged
the
fourth-quarter comeback and get back to 500 on the season. Here.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. I mean, we watched it in slow motion. It didn't seem to me like it could do that kind of damage. But apparently, he really fucked him up.
He's 6'8", 280 pounds. Yeah. A little swipe's gonna hurt.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's the balled up bare fist from a big man. Also, there was that whole thing with Enes Kanter. What his name was?
Kanter.
The center for
Celtics.
The Celtics, who was launching this whole anti-LeBron James, we're talking about China. He had like a King James China shoe, and he's going after James. And I don't know, maybe James was a little on his last nerve or something.
Well, and I don't, we've since become like a diehard Lakers house because the kid's into basketball and he's having fun with it. Didn't know this because don't know that much about the NBA. LeBron James, big flopper, really likes to make a big show of falling over.
Probably.
Yes.
That's a thing.
I don't get that. Like, wouldn't you, like, where's your dignity? Don't you feel like a jerk off when you do that, though?
You're also LeBron. You're going to get every call.
But that's what I'm saying. But, like, it's not even, it's just like, don't you feel kind of like a douchebag? Like,
I think it's, there's parts of sports, like when the catcher frames the strike that's the ball and pulls it back up. There's some sports
the
that are
receiver makes a big thing out of contact when they
I mean there's a flop sometimes the quarterback's a flop they get pushed a little after they release the ball. Punters have been flopping. Punters started the flopping and their flopping is majestic because they're airborne, you know, twisting
around.
They go like a marlin when it leaps out of the ocean.
Well, then maybe that's real.
Well,
that's more impressive.
Well, there's a history of trying to help your team through things that don't directly have to do with catching, punting, you know, making, you know, it's like there's a finesse thing. They a lot do it. It's kind of accepted. And it's part of the game.
All right. Well, Staples is getting a new name. I think y'all know this by now. They just keep sounding less and less charming, and then we get used to it, and the next one sounds even weirder. So goodbye, Staples. Starting Christmas Day, the home of the Lakers and Clippers will be renamed Crypto.com Arena.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying $700 million for the naming rights for the next 20 years, believed to be the richest naming rights deal in sports history.
So ironically, you're gonna go, they're paying for it in cash.
That's funny.
No, I'm 100% serious.
That's good. But it's like you're going to go catch a concert at crypto.com. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Staples isn't exactly glorious.
But that's what
either.
I'm saying.
Makes
you
me
get,
think of weird surgery.
Right. You get used to the charm of it. Like when you went to Kansas City and you performed at Arvest Bank Theater, I go, you mean the majestic Midland?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, but by the way, guys, don't forget, it didn't work out too well for Staples. I mean, they do that because they think it's going to be good for business. They went out of business.
That's a good point.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, crypto's probably got legs more than the office supply place that everyone's. But yes.
Did I ever tell you?
I don't know about that, but you know, it may be prophetic. If crypto blows up and they got 18 years left on the lease that they already paid for.
Good point. Let me tell you guys that I went to the first, actually, I think it was the second concert ever at Staples Center. Chris can maybe look this up. I think the first was U2, and I think the second was Bruce Springsteen. I'm a Springsteen fan. So I went to Springsteen, and he, you know, I don't know if you know this about the man. He does a lot of talking between songs.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't like the acoustics of it?
I don't know about that. All I know, this was early 2000, late 99, whatever it was built. And he went on a little jag about, like, and you could tell it wasn't great, really well rehearsed, because he goes, walking around here before the show started looking for Mr. Staples.
No, boy.
I couldn't find him. Anybody seen Mr. Staples? And it's like, oh, I get it, because it's a corporate thing. You hate everything corporate, but you're playing the corporate arena, ironically.
Well, I'm waiting for public schools to be renamed. I've been saying that for years. Like, you're not going to go to, like, I went to Shawnee Mission South. It's going to be Ralph's Food Club High.
Yeah, I went to Walter Reed, and he probably...
Problematic.
Probably may have had some slave owners in his history or something. Cured malaria, I think, but...
what have you done for me lately?
That's right.
But wouldn't schools welcome the money?
I guess.
I
don't know.
For the naming rights?
I don't know. It is... I mean, look, you kind of look at sports and basketball and shoe contracts and high school basketball teams and stuff.
I will say it's already creeping in, because most of the schools I can think of, which is not many, have sold the rights to their football fields.
Oh, really?
Oh, there you go.
So-and-so
field, almost there.
Tom Brady field or whatever. You know, you pay $100,000.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I guess if Bette Midler can adopt a highway, Tom Brady can adopt a football field. All right, let's do one more, Gina Graham.
Okay. Well, Joe, here's something you might want to get in on. I'd certainly love to see you in it.
In 1999, Bruce was the first act to perform at the Staples Center.
I was there, dude.
Blockbuster has risen back from the dead thanks to Netflix, which is planning to revive the store as a sitcom. The streaming service, which helped kill the movie rental place in the first place, will produce a 10-episode single-camera workplace comedy starring Randall Park. You've seen him. He's in there, Fresh Off the Boat, WandaVision.
10-camera?
Single camera, 10 episodes.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, and he's been in a bunch
more
of stuff.
More cameras!
The show is set to, it's set in the last remaining Blockbuster video store, like, in the country. And, of course, many remember that Netflix started as a rental chain that nearly went under in 2000.
Did Netflix run that doc?
Yeah.
On the last Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Maybe this is based on that, or the success of that?
Yeah, so 10 episodes of a Blockbuster sitcom, I'll watch it. I'll check it out.
Did they cast it yet, or is this something else I'm not going to get to be in?
Well, I was going to say, they cast the lead, but that doesn't mean there's not an opportunity for another kind of character arc.
Hey, can I say this?
I'm calling my agent.
You know, it's like whenever you talk to them, it's like everyone's getting into the content business. Everyone's in the content business. Mm-hmm. Everyone's making content. You know, they're making original stuff, and everyone needs more content. How much more content do we need?
Yeah, I mean, saturated.
At a certain point, I think there's more people doing podcasts than are not doing podcasts.
Than are listening.
Like at this point.
Yeah. Who's listening to the podcast?
Right.
How much content do we need? There's more fucking stations with more shit. It's all good. I don't have time for all of it.
So everyone can catch up.
But I have these conversations all the time. Like, we need more content. They're buying, they're paying good money, but they need content, you know? And it's like, okay, how much content do we need? How much content can be digested?
Right.
How does the math work out? And then who is watching all of this content all the time? Like, I watch a lot of content, but I just watch like SportsCenter every night, right? But I don't branch off and find out what the Ring Doorbell Network has planned for me with this series or that series. I get it. Everything that's made seems to be consumed at some point, but at a certain point, don't you think the math is not going to work out? There's just not going to be enough. We're not reproducing as a nation that fast. Mm-hmm. I think we're down on kids. Who are going to be these content in consumers 20 years from now.
Why do you think that telescope's looking to outer space? They got to sell content.
More content. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
What do you like to watch?
Yeah, I'm here.
What content do you consume?
You know, I live in a bubble. I watch the Criterion Channel or Turner Classic Movies because then I can't be jealous of anybody.
That's right.
They're all dead already. You know, I just want to watch movies and be entertained and not say, why wasn't I up for that?
I do that with porn. I make sure they're all gone. It's a dead lady's tell no tales, Gina.
That's right. That's right here.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
You're a liar. Gina
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, there's Blinds Galore. They're having their huge Black Friday sale. Starts this week, up to 50% off of custom blind shades and one of their biggest sales of the year. So you head to blindsgalore.com. You get 50% off during the Black Friday sale. Give any room an incredible makeover with custom blinds, shades, or shutters. You do it all from your home. Just take the measurements and customize it online with a Build a Blind tool, and you can see exactly how your blinds and shades are going to look on screen before you buy. All hand-built from scratch, delivered right to your door, created just for your windows. I have these things for my edit bays. I have my bedroom. I have my home. I have them everywhere. I have them here. And they make it easy to you. You can connect those shades, by the way, to your smart home, your phone, your Amazon Alexa. They even have remotes. You charge them. You don't have to hardwire them. It is Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale when you can get 50% off. But you go check out blindsgalore.com and let them know that Adam sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
Hide and Seek, the name of Joe's movie. It's available now in theaters and on digital and on demand as well. Comedian Pete Lee's going to return for more mirth tomorrow. And you can go to check me out. Just go to amcroll.com, doing shows all over the place. And the Corolla Christmas Combo, perfect holiday gift. We'll have the signed Christmas card from the whole ACS crew and the three-pack of Mangria. Go to CorollaDrinks.com for all the info there. And you can check out all the movies on our Pluto TV channel, 687 on our Chassis channel and Pluto TV. All the movies are there. Joe, always great to speak to you. Sorry about the technical glitch.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for entertaining me. It was the best news segment I've ever heard.
Right back at you, brother. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Joey Pants and Gina Grand Bull Brian. Say it. Mahalo.
D is for dumb. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. He's also on Facebook and Instagram at Adam Carolla. Gina Grant's on the podcast Easy Listening. Paul Bryan's on the film ball. The rest of us are on the water cooler. Check it out. Get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Brea shows in December will sell out. So get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning renting? You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.